Hello, and welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast, live show with our 10 guests. Joe is gone now. I'm in charge. Deal with it. This is Captain Michael. We are joined by Sean.
Yo!
Finally, he is here. He has got his priorities straight. He is back with us.
I don't know if my priorities are straight, but...
Joe will get over it. We're all back together.
Nice, Joe.
We have Parkscope Nick.
Hey, Mike, buddy, old pal.
Hey, Nick, long time no speak.
Yeah, a few seconds.
Yes, and we are joined by friend of the show, Richie Vernillo.
Hey, guys.
And Brian Carey.
What's up?
And Cameron Field, Disney Dweller.
Hey, guys.
And Yo Pauly NJ.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Did I say Gorilla Feces already? I'll say it again.
Nope.
We have Jay from Theme Park Insight.
Hello.
And Ken Story.
How's it going?
Central Florida Top 5?
Yep.
Got it right that time. And Ryan Kennedy from Universal Now.
Woo! Like how we have so many people.
All right, if I forgot you, speak up. All right, good. I'm cracking up. I think Pauly has our Gorilla Feces with Al Roker and the Goblin.
I still like the picture I photoshopped.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
It was good. For everybody out there, I tweeted that the next profile picture I need on Twitter is me with the Green Gots goblin scales, and then Theme Park Insight and someone else took it upon themselves to Photoshop me and from my current picture into Dal Roker pictures and all kinds of other various terrible things.
That was great.
Yes.
That's funny.
We know how to have fun in the Universal community. We are not uptight like the other side. All right. So, we are here for round three. We had our first show yesterday, our real show. And then tonight we had our sidebar show with everybody that we could fit in here. Apparently Skype limits us to 10. So we are at full capacity yet again. And we are going to continue talking about theme parks because we have nothing better to do on a Friday night. Okay. Sean, what are your thoughts on the Universal close-up theme park blog?
It's great, except for the fact that it has Rocket in its icon.
Yeah.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Yeah, that was a bad choice.
I guess they just wanted to balance out the lighthouse. But they
don't put
just...
the lighthouse, put Gringotts.
Yeah,
or not Gringotts, Hogwarts.
There might be an issue with Gringotts.
Green Gots and Hogwarts.
This is why we need Universal Plaza.
Yes. Anything other than Rocket. Oh, my God. But I like it. I like Mike Aiello's profile on there.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it was a long time coming. Their social media has been a little not up to par. And we've talked about this before, but yeah, it's good. It's a good step. It's a good step towards where they need to be.
I agree. I'm looking for Aiello's profile.
Seth tweeted it.
Yeah.
It's in C2. Somewhere.
I'm excited about it.
Post the link in the chat.
Okay. Jay is on top of stuff, y'all. He's been posting us links all night long.
I didn't even know you could do all this with chat until now.
Yeah. So, basically, there's two posters on the Universal Parks blog. There's Mike Aiello and some lady named Devi. Aiello's little profile is, Michael Aiello has fooled everyone into thinking he is the director of creative development for entertainment at Universal Orlando Resort, when in fact... he is just a theme park geek that happens to enjoy all things in the horror, fantasy, and sci-fi genres, as well as being an expert at run-on sentences. Now tell me this guy is not a trillion times cooler than Brandon Clayla.
It's not hard.
Oh, goodness.
And once again, Jay is just Mike on top of things. Go ahead, Sean.
Mike actually makes shows. He doesn't go glorified antiquing for his job.
Yes. And the Dr. Blondie of Universal, if you will, is Denny Cox. And she's a thrill-seeking PR professional and passionate HHN fan who's been with Universal Orlando Resort for over 3 years. Her favorite things to do are travel to new places with her family, go to cons, and get her geek on and enjoy a good book.
Noob.
Heart.
It's an unfortunate name.
She also likes run-on sentences.
Yeah, I think everybody does nowadays. I think it's just a symptom of the times.
We couldn't get anyone from Attractions on this show.
Jillian Nope is no longer there. You see that? They're looking for a new female. Oh.
Yes.
You had Banks earlier in the week.
Yes, Banks was very good, gotta say.
Always Banks is fantastic.
Always a pleasure to talk to Banks.
Banks is the most... Yeah.
I love his enthusiasm.
Most professional, down-to-earth,
yeah.
Great guy.
He knows how to toe that line without being ridiculous. He does a really good job.
When are you guys having Ricky on?
Ricky would never come on our show.
No.
That would end poorly.
Once he makes Parkscope lanyards, then we'll talk, I'm sure.
Wait. What about our Outside the Magic can come on?
Oh, God.
And now his wife might come on.
Oh, God. Dude, now you brought that upon us. That will get back to her. Grumpy now we cat? Have to deal with her. We don't need Grumpy Cat. We got my cat.
Baloo.
At Parks Go Baloo. And Gorilla Feces just tweeted a picture of me photoshopped with the very suspicious Al Roker. Oh, goodness. All right, so something we didn't talk about on the first second show is what we were talking about on Twitter this evening. I don't know why I kind of brought it up.
Sorry, I'm looking at that photo.
You're welcome.
Yeah. What started it, Sean? There's something had to start it where I said that.
Oh, we were talking about the perfect theme park properties.
Yeah, how Harry Potter is the perfect theme park intellectual property in that.
Oh, I remember that.
In that you have these iconic locations, you have iconic objects, you have wands, you have all these products that are real in that universe, you have the food, you have the transportation. Just this huge world of things that just translates so well into a theme park environment that it's pretty much the perfect thing you can come up with. I think what brought this on is somebody was talking about, and I apologize for forgetting at this moment who it was, a Star Wars land, and that
it was Lyman Hyde.
Yeah. That's right. And then that... Basically, Disney is just letting Universal be this petulant child. That's not what he said, but just let Universal have their fun for now. And then when Disney wants to, they can basically just squash them at any second, I think was the gist of it.
Yeah.
And I disagreed with that premise, and I think Sean did too, in that Universal has, over the past 4 years, with no signs of stopping now, is that they've built up this arsenal, and they're just increasing their popularity and building up their lineup and the strength of their resort to where they can kind of stand on their own now and draw people on their own right, to where Disney just can't snap their fingers and bring impending doom upon Universal. The damage is done. People aren't going to skip Harry Potter when they go to Orlando now. And Universal is adding on to things outside of Harry Potter to where they have to go to Universal now when they go to Orlando. It's not an option anymore. So Disney has missed out on, they've just let Universal creep in that one little bit, and Universal's not giving up. They're increasing their foothold into the door, and they're going to just keep demanding more time from people in Orlando, and you don't have anything coming from Disney until 2017 at this moment. You might get Frozen overlay sometime in that interim, but you're not getting anything that's going to stop the bleeding for another 3 years at least.
Soarin' 2.0, man. Come on.
Yeah. So you have a shaky IP at best in Avatar. That's what they're banking on 3 years from now. By that point, you have Diagon Alley. You have Kong, definitely, because something is going in that plot of Land and Islands of Adventure. You possibly have something in Kid Zone. We trust our source there. And Lord knows what else. You have a water park coming, possibly. That's probably going to be, you know, some kind of water park we've never seen before. Maybe.
Well, it hasn't been built yet.
Yeah,
so.
It's too early to tell. But from what, you know, I know our pal Kyle Duffield doesn't like to talk in rumors, unsubstantiated rumors, but, you know, that there is some pretty impressive talk about what this water park might entail. So, you know, Universal over the next 3 years has a lot going on, and to think that a Star Wars land on its own just kills Universal and stops the momentum is folly.
The only chance at completely destroying Universal was during the dark, as we like to call it, the dark times, you know, from 2003 to, what was it, you know, when Potter opened and then Comcast took over. And, you know, that's not going to happen now.
2010.
Unless you know, Comcast decides they don't want to invest or, you know, anymore in it or whatever. It's not going to happen.
And we've talked about it on the show where a Star Wars land, while popular, it doesn't really do what Potter does unless they really go for it. Star Wars is a great universe and a great story and a great world, but unlike Potter, it's not as easy to replicate in a theme park environment as faithfully. You have a bunch of different planets separated by considerable distances.
And not only that, but the planets are, for the most part, completely one note. You have Tatooine, which is all desert. You have Hoth, which is all ice. You have Coruscant, which is all city. You have, you know, the only one that I would say seems kind of diverse is Naboo, which has the forests and the lakes and stuff like that. But
and in Star Wars, the only really iconic things, you know, is of size, the Death Star.
Star Destroyers.
Something on, well, yeah, but I don't know how you have that as a...
Well, that's what I mean, I don't know how you do it.
On Tatooine, you have, most obviously, you have Luke's house, the moisture farm. Other than that, though...
Millennium Falcon.
Yeah,
well, you could do it like a Jabba's palace, and you could do a little bit more of Mos Eisley, but, I mean, Sean is right. All of the Star Wars worlds are very much one-dimensional, and the thing you got going with Potter is you not only have great settings, but they really create the world. I mean, you see the books they read, the food they eat, the people they talk to, how they talk to each other. You've got animals and how they interact and all that stuff. With Star Wars, you've got Aunt Beru's blue milk. And you know, like, they don't even talk about what they really drink at the bar. It, you know, Luke walks in and says, "I'll have one of those." It's not really fully fleshed out like it is in Harry Potter.
Hey, you want some death sticks?
Yeah. You don't need any death sticks.
And the funny thing is, they had the more fleshed out thing in the expanded universe, and now they've thrown that out. So
not canon. Not canon.
Yeah. So. You know, obviously, I'm a Star Wars fan, and I would venture to guess most of us are. I know Sean's a little down on it right now, but the original trilogy is pretty much very classic. But yeah, it isn't Potter. They're both very popular, but Potter is just meant for theme parks in that you do have the places, you have the merchandise, and you have all these, you have the food, just everything, and then there's an aspect of it's grounded in things that you're familiar with. A lot of it resembles, you know, either things that you're familiar with currently or things that were like around in the Middle Ages that you've always known in fantasy stories growing up. And then a lot of people have grown up with Harry Potter where they're just, this is ingrained in them. And it's a very familiar, yet it's fantastical enough to be, you're drawn to it. And then very conveniently, Universal has two theme parks where they can have a train in between, and it kind of mimics the journey between London and Scotland. And it just works perfectly to where they must have just... Well, whoever had that first epiphany that they could do this must have just been like, wow. And they brought it up to the meeting, it's just been like, wow. Like, that's perfect. You couldn't ask for anything better. To where Jaws was located, where Lost Continent is. It's just the perfect situation for the perfect property, just for the perfect theme park. It's just... It's hard to replicate that.
Well, particularly when you have something as central to the story as that train ride.
Yeah.
And I mean, that it's featured so prominently in what? Like the first four movies? And even beyond.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It might be in all six.
I think a lot of people are going to be upset with the train ride, though. I think there's a lot against this train ride. And when it happens, I think a lot of people are going to be upset with the train ride.
My concern with the train is that it's going to come off a little too much like Star Tours 2, where it's just a bombardment of character cameos.
Mm. Does anybody know like how they're going to transition like from countryside to city in six seconds?
I think it's 6 minutes, give or take, and I think the transition is basically you're going to be running right along, going just fine, and then spoiler alert, Dementors.
Mentors, yeah.
Yeah, and then you'll transition into being closer to Hogwarts, you know?
Once the windows unfog or whatever.
Yeah, so I feel like there'll be, like, one big show scene that'll transition from, you know, like, you'll start off in the city, you'll see a little countryside, then you'll have, like, oh my gosh, the Mentors, and then you'll transition to where you're pulling into Hogsmeade. And then the other way around, I don't know. In the books, there's not even much talk of what happens on the ride home. I think the only one of consequence was after Goblet of Fire, where Harry gives the money to the Weasley twins.
Yeah.
You know, so other than that, nothing really ever happens. Yeah.
So the Weasley twins are going to shake you down on the way back?
Yes. They're going to say, come to our shop in Diagon Alley and buy our joke products.
Because clearly James and Oliver Phelps need money.
They're getting a free meal out of it.
Yeah. Free meal.
Please, yeah. All we'll take is a butterbeer.
Well, and it might actually lead to some interesting tie-in to Gringotts if they do something with some kind of money. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you do that. I mean, what, Harry's hanging out outside the train?
They're...
Oh, no, Mad-Eye Moody is in the station in King's Cross.
Yeah, Ken, yeah. Where do we see that? Is that on the website?
I don't know if it's official yet.
I've seen the still, or I've seen a video of him on the
platform. It was at the one where they had the Gringotts vault set up, the announcement way back when, and they showed some clips from Hogwarts Express. It was on that one.
I know I've seen this, and I just can't ever remember where it was. Because
Hagrid will be at Hogsmeade, yes. And Mad-Eye Moody will be at...
King's Cross.
Right.
From Hogsmeade to... King's Cross, you're going to see the Centaurians, the Glenfinn Viaduct, Fred and George Weasley, and Malfoy Manor.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. I saw, there's a still of the Centaurs somewhere. And I know I've seen Mad-Eye Moody, and what Mad-Eye Moody is standing in front of looks exactly like that wall they built between Disaster and King's Cross.
Right. That's. That's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be on guard at King's Cross upon your arrival there. So I'm guessing it's going to take place post Order of the Phoenix or somewhere around that time frame.
Just don't think about it, Nick.
Yeah.
Don't put it in the time frame.
I've got to, guys.
You have to assume he is on London on business. That's what I would assume.
I want to see the Voldemort in the suit. He's smoothing his hair that doesn't exist back.
I'm excited for it. I want to see how convincing the window is, and you know.
Yeah, I'm because I feel like that. You know, we it's the nature of what we do. You know, as fans, but I feel like that's the one complete wild factor, you know, wild card that I don't know what to expect from is that window and like how they're gonna make it so amazing that everyone's been hyping it up, you know.
I gotta imagine that it's gonna be. Yeah, I gotta imagine it's gonna be at least a little bit better than the Star Tours 2.0 effect. I'm not talking about the storyline for Star Tours, but just the way right. that. I mean, you really do feel like you're flying through space in those.
Yeah.
Do we know how many people are gonna fit in one cabin?
I think eight.
Eight.
Okay.
And more if you have a small child that could sit on your lap.
Gotcha. Has it been confirmed yet? Because I know I posted about it because I heard it from a couple people that the candy cart will actually be inside of the cart, inside of like each train.
Okay. Sean, do you want to close your ears for a second?
Should I?
I mean, I'm going to go into what Orlando Informer said today, maybe.
Okay, I'll just take my headphones out for a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's simulated that the candy cart lady is there after the Dementor attack to bring you chocolate.
Yeah.
This is what Orlando Informer said, and that it's you're led to believe she's walking through the hall and that she throws you a chocolate frog and they hit the ground and the chocolate frogs get loose. And you feel them, like, hop past your feet. Kind of like in Tough to Be a Bug.
Hmm.
Oh.
Okay, but yeah, consider the source, maybe. I don't know. Ken, what do you think?
I hold that you're going to hear her and feel her, but you won't see her.
Right.
Same thing with the three main characters.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll hear them go. Once you sit down in your car, you'll hear them in the hallway outside, but you won't see them.
Did you get that from you, Ken?
I don't know. I didn't have the part on the frogs here. I didn't have that part.
Okay. Yeah, so that's an easy solution for, you know, to have that experience in there, I guess, is to have the projection of it. And not really have a physical effect. Well, you would have a physical effect for the feeling, I guess.
Yeah, but that's not. That's just a air pressure type thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So I'm more concerned with the Hogwarts station and the look of it from the outside and from when you get into the train. When you get into the train, it's going to look very different than the actual outside looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing that being down there a couple of weeks ago and riding the dragons and looking in there, and then I know that what the animations that they showed back whenever it was, they had the Phelps twins and all that down there for the Potter celebration and all that. That the animation looked like that you could see the trees and all that around the station, but then whenever you go over on the dragons, it's clear that you're not going to have trees across the platform for me. It's just a brick wall there, so. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle that either.
It's just one of those things we'll have to see. You know, obviously they're planting trees in that area.
Is somebody building furniture or something? Sounds like a ratchet.
It's somebody outside of Sean's apartment.
Somebody's recording from IKEA.
Now, getting back to the Star Wars, I was on the ride the other day, and I noticed, okay, when you're in the queue for the ride, it advertises all the different lands, you know, all the different worlds, if you will. And for the city one...
Coruscant.
Yeah.
Coruscant.
It advertises a nightclub district, a nightlife district.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the perfect hard-ticketed event in the evenings to go along with Star Wars Land. And we know how much Disney loves hall ticket events now.
Yeah.
Harambe
Coruscant Nights. Coruscant Nights.
Oh, man.
Only if they can meet characters and buy merchandise.
That's going to be a disaster.
You can buy some death sticks.
I want some death sticks.
Star Wars Land will be cool, but it's just not going to... They're not going to do what needs to be done.
I love that Pixar.
They really need a Star Wars park.
Yes. But you know that concept you always seen thrown around, like the Star Wars Disneyland, where you have the Death Star in the middle and all the different lands going around it?
Just turn Future World into that.
Yeah, why not? Go for it. Soarin' over Naboo.
Living Seas can be Naboo. And the Gungan world.
Kamino.
Jar Jar's energy adventure.
Yes, I like fossil fuels.
It's all him jamming his tongue into power sockets.
Rethemed Test Track to pod racing.
Huh, all these photo edited things of Mike on Twitter.
Yeah, Mike is very popular on Twitter right now.
That's right.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Don't apologize to him.
Keep doing it, man. Keep going.
I want to see him as the cast of The Breakfast Club.
We need him as like the hologram on the Star Tours ride now.
God forbid somebody should Photoshop me into a scene from Frozen.
This one with Al and Hot Dog.
What on earth is going on?
Oh my God.
Okay, so back on track. When I had my epiphany that Harry Potter is the best theme park intellectual property of all time, I also thought to myself, well, what is the second best one? And that would be The Simpsons, where it's a very similar thing where you have this huge world of places, characters, merchandise, and foods that belong only to this world, but are familiar enough and fantastical enough that you want to experience them. And you're seeing this now with Springfield. I think there was a report yesterday where Fast Food Boulevard was jam-packed with people still almost a year later.
Well, and I've been told that Universal expected it to be pretty successful, but its success has completely surprised them. Like, they didn't think it was... They thought it was going to be successful, but it's been significantly more successful than even they thought it would be.
Yeah, and I could totally get that, because even though I can appreciate... I don't watch The Simpsons regularly. I would like to. I don't know why I don't, but I don't. So I appreciate what Simpsons is and how its longevity, and I enjoy it when I do watch it. But I could, you know, Mike? I could think in the back of my mind, you know, maybe it is too late for this, and, you know, maybe its better days are behind it, but... People still resonate with these characters in this world. And, you know, whether you haven't watched in 20 years or you're watching it last Sunday, you still are a Simpsons fan, and people still enjoy these characters and these places, and they still connect with these things. And that says a lot about the show and the property. And like I said, it has everything you want for a theme park, everything you're looking for.
And a big thing is the condensed setting. You know, it's all in one city, so it's not, you know, like Star Wars, like Lord of the Rings, you know, you don't have to completely change, you know, suspend disbelief a ton to think you're going from one place to another.
Right. It's more like Potter. Potter takes place in two places, London
right.
and Hogsmeade and Hogwarts. That's it. And Springfield is where everything is, but it is a completely flushed out idea that has got everything you could possibly want in that one area.
I think Disney does have some of their animated properties that could be these kinds of lands that it's either, you know, past their time where they won't do it, or they're shoehorning the property into a World Showcase pavilion. There are things that can be done in the same vein that I don't think we'll see in the same vein.
You know, I just wonder if Disney even gets it. Do they get it?
I mean,
do they care?
Cars Land was the closest they've gotten to something of this similar situation in the United States, I should say, because like Mysterious Island is awesome and is from technically the same property and is one coherent land, but
And I feel like Mystic Point also kind of gets it, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean that's not from a property,
right?
That's, you know, original.
Yeah, so Disney wrote this script, and I guess they kind of forgot it, or they just don't know how to do it with properties, maybe.
Well, I think Ken had a point too, where he said, "Do they care?" I mean, I think they care more about that $2.2 billion profit from parks and resorts every year. I mean, if they really wanted to, and getting back to what you talked about at the very beginning of the show, Mike, if they wanted to half their profit and spend $1 billion a year, they could. But they don't have the farm system stacked like a baseball team. I mean, Universal's got AA, single A, triple A. You know, they've got people coming up to the show on a regular basis. And, you know, it's like Disney's got these things going every 3 years, which is nice, but I also feel like they're not going to spend what it takes in the 21st century to build that story, you know. And Cars Land is a nice thing, you know. It's cohesive, but again, it's a few attractions and a couple, you know, places to eat.
Cars Land's problem is that what it has. Cars Land's problem, in my opinion, and again, I really like Cars Land. I think it's really good. But it's not great because it doesn't have the little things. You know, Wizarding World has little things, Springfield has little things, and in my opinion, the best, you know, park that I've ever been to, Tokyo DisneySea, has the little things. And I think Cars Land misses the little things. It hits the big things great. It's got a great e-ticket. It's got two smaller tickets that are very good. It's got some good food, but it misses the small, like, for me, Cars Land is hit, you know, Mater's, hit Luigi's, hit Radiator Springs, maybe get something to eat, and that's it. I don't want to sit around there and see the little details, because there really isn't a lot of little details. It's, you know, a lot of macro, and it misses the micro.
And, I mean, I'm trying to think, too, because, I mean, my immediate go-to whenever you think of, you know, what animated property I think would work, you know, or at least Pixar, is it goes to The Incredibles. However, I think you've got the place settings, and I think you've got likable characters, and I think you have, you know, interesting situations. I don't feel that fleshed out world, though.
You don't have the details, yeah.
No, you really don't, and I'm trying to picture, I mean, other than the Pars house, you don't really go into any kind of detail that fleshes it out and makes it real.
Do you think
I think Monsters, Inc. is the same, kind of, is in the same boat.
Yeah.
Places you can go to, though.
But at least Monsters, Inc. has a restaurant attached to it.
Yeah.
Harryhausen's.
Yeah. My choice would be, but I know a lot of people like what they did with Beauty and the Beast, but, I mean, they got the restaurant and they got the secondary, you know, kind of attraction there, and then they don't have the next step, which is the e-ticket, and then maybe... Like, I know a lot of people don't agree with me on this, especially Disney fans, but I think New Fantasyland should have at least been mostly Beauty and the Beast. Just go out all out on Beauty and the Beast and go on from that. I think, you know, biggest problem with New Fantasyland is it's all different stuff.
Zones.
Just kind of jammed together in a... Yeah. It's not fully haphazard, but it feels a tiny bit haphazard, where I feel like if they had gone one, you know, whole hog on one property, they could have knocked it out of the park and would have been a lot better.
Well, there's two things with New Fantasy Land that bother me. One, the castle for beating the beast is off scale, and I know that Harry Potter, but with Harry Potter the difference is you enter through the back, so you don't notice it as bad. The other thing is you have a mango flavored drink, and you put it in the French area instead of not the tropical area that's right next door.
Yeah. No, I.
I also heard they removed the foam from LeFou's brew now.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, really? I read that yesterday.
Huh. Where at? Where?
That was on Twitter. I'm trying to. I'll see if I can find it again. But yeah.
I had one of the 28.
Probably.
They probably I had one of the 28, and I had it then. The foam's the only part I like.
Yeah, the rest is just like apple juice, and it gets old quick.
It's just too. I don't know. Me and my sister tried to split one, and we threw it out halfway through.
Well, me and my wife bought one,
and I've thrown two away.
Me and my wife had one, and like I forced myself to drink it because I was like, I'm not spending this much money on this thing and not finishing it.
Yeah.
Is that the same drink as the one in Cars Land?
Yes.
Yes.
It's red in Cars Land. It's red's apple freeze in Cars Land.
Ah.
And I'll see. Now I'm seeing a picture from May 3rd that said it was on. So maybe it just wasn't working that night.
Cast members
They should have really went one land or one property for New Fantasyland, or maybe, you know, if they wanted to do two, change Storybook Circus to something else. Because I know a lot of people like Storybook Circus, but I still feel like that land is half wasted on a water play area and.
It's only half built.
And a meet and greet that closes 3 hours before the park or 2 hours before the park does.
But yeah, I don't understand Pete's silly shad show myself.
Yeah.
And a picnic area.
I think the one thing though that kind of has jumped out to me is that a movie is kind of really hard to base a whole land as far as with the details around, unless it's like a series of movies or.
Yeah, that's true.
A TV show or books actually lends itself better to something on this level than just like a one-off, one movie type of thing.
That's true.
Well, the other thing too that I mean, because we've talked about this before, Sean. I actually like how New Fantasyland is set up with how you do have little vignettes from the different movies. To me, it's a natural extension of what they've done with the rest of Fantasyland, where you have a castle facade with a whole bunch of other stuff inside of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Peter Pan is in a castle. Pooh is in a castle. That kind of doesn't make sense, but it works.
No, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, you know, all these things that we talk about is a matter of preference. But,
of course.
Yeah, I mean, I just see things like, you know, I'm Springfield. I see things like Potter. I see things like, Cars Land. I see things like what they did at Tokyo Disney Sea. And it's just these self-contained lands that all flow so well together. And then you see things. I mean, and again, I think what they did for the most part in New Fantasyland is very good. It's very good stuff. I just don't think it flows well together.
And actually, if I can ask a question, not to derail too much, but Tokyo DisneySea, the delineation between the different areas, is that kind of like Liberty Square going to Fantasyland, where they have like one building with two different facades, or how do they do that?
Most of it is pretty separate. The only things I would say that flow directly together are Mediterranean Harbor and Mysterious Island, and those flow together through the Fortress Explorers, the sea, you know, walk through Tom Sawyer Island-esque type thing. Most everything else is separated by water and bridges and kind of trees and stuff like that for the most part. I'm trying to think. I guess there's a little bit of crossover between American Waterfront and what's it called? Oh, the Tomorrowland area. Discovery Bay, is that it? I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah, Discovery Bay. Where and that is done pretty well through the electric railway ride. But yeah, it's most of them aren't directly connected, okay, like you see in a lot of other places.
Because I mean, that's definitely something that New Fantasyland, I mean, as big as you know the expansion they tout to be, you still have. I mean, you know, Gaston's Tavern is what 150 feet away from the entrance to Little Mermaid, which is across the path from Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is just down the street from Circus.
Right.
You can't do the same thing there.
Right.
So in that, go ahead.
There are some areas where they tried, like they tried to theme the back of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train to Mermaid and all that kind of stuff. And again, I don't. What they did for New Fantasyland wasn't bad. It's just not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes Old Fantasyland look very dated now.
Well,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of the entire park look dated.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, you have this mega. Detailed area, and then I mean, obviously Fantasyland, because with the tent structure, that was always going to look not great. But I mean, even Tomorrowland's a problem area to begin with, but Tomorrowland just looks even worse, especially the transition if you go from Mermaid area, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, to you know Tomorrowland Speedway. It just, I mean, that's been a problem since day one, though. So.
Last time I was at Magic Kingdom, the flow between Peter Pan and It's a Small World, they have the cast member standing there, and it's all it's a two-way street, and they're telling you which side of the street to go on.
Yeah, it gets really narrow down there.
Even with Tangled Toilets?
Well, especially, because that's a dead end.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to duck out of here. I'm going to wake up early, so I'll talk to you guys later.
See ya. Yeah.
See ya.
Bye.
Sean, if I could add something.
Go for it.
I'm sorry, Nick.
No, go ahead, man.
I really do agree with you guys. You're right, Sean. You're really right about how it's very diverse. And the fact that there's a Little Mermaid and then you have Beauty and the Beast, it's just – I think it's just too much of a jump cut. If you will, in terms of characters and story that they were trying to convey there. Like, they have the Mine Train, they have Beauty and the Beast. I really think a Sleeping Beauty attraction would have been very unique for the whole thing, instead of a Little Mermaid attraction, because it would flow better.
Yeah,
in a sense.
I think the Mermaid, Mermaid is huge, and it is pretty underrepresented in all the Disney parks, for the most part, other than Disney Sea, ironically.
So is Little Lion King, so is Aladdin, so are all those other classics.
No, I don't disagree there. But I think if it was, I know Mermaid is technically a European property, but I think if that Mermaid area was a little bit more European looking than beach looking, you know, if it was Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella or something to that nature. Even Tangled, which, I mean, that's my, I'm still bitter that wasn't that, you know, there isn't a Tangled attraction anywhere. Something more European looking, I think, would have flowed a lot more. They still could have gotten with the, you know, broken up multiple properties, but it would have flowed a little bit better.
Well, that is interesting because the Eric's Castle that they built in New Fantasyland does look a lot more Mediterranean than Danish.
Yeah.
It's really sad that the Tangled sort of got kicked in the butt and having, you know, just a facade for a restroom. It's really sad that it goes to that. Mm. Well, Tangled could have been something really big.
And this we talked about this, I guess, two shows ago. It's, you know, they're if they do end up doing this Frozen plan that we've, you know, all heard about. With putting it in Maelstrom, they're kind of just wasting these really good properties that they have. You know, they could make, and me and Paulie were talking about this earlier, you know, they could put Frozen in Hollywood Studios and it would be huge. but they're going to stick it in, you know, shoehorn it in Epcot where most people are going already. And, you know, it's not really going to change anything. And, you know, they have Tangled sitting there, which is a great, huge, successful and very popular still. And they're, you know, all you get is a restroom. And then kind of a forgotten one that's it's kind of smaller. It's not nearly on the same level as them. But, you know, Wreck-It Ralph did really well. And, you know, you don't even see a meet and greet for that.
I think for the Castle Projection Show, the was it Celebrate the Magic?
Yeah.
I think the Wreck-It Ralph and the Frozen are the two most popular ones in the entire show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're doing so little with those two properties. And in that show, you can see how well people like those two properties.
Frozen will do well in that castle show, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it does. Oh, yeah.
Well, and not to bring up something a couple shows ago, but Mike had the absolute perfect idea to launch every night the castle dream lights get lit by Elsa.
Oh, it would be yeah. huge.
And nobody mentioned it ever except for Polly, my friend of me. Love you, bro.
Looking out for you.
My that beautiful, wonderful idea that nobody ever mentioned except for Polly.
It needs to happen.
It would be huge. Oh, my God, it would be huge.
I mean, and particularly the first night, and, you know, this is Disney, so they wouldn't do it. But if they didn't announce what they were going to do.
Oh, could you imagine? People lose their minds.
Twitter would break.
But here's the thing. There's no way you get all the cast members to shut up about it either.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
Because, listen, Paulie, you can hear that stuff. Listen, when I would get off at night at TTC, you could hear them. Whenever they started doing Haunted Mansion again, you could hear the damn wolf.
Yeah.
All the way from TTC
yeah.
at night.
That's true.
And when they were practicing for the first time they did the castle show, you could hear it at night.
And as someone who was always... whose ride was right next to the Spectro staging area. The entertainment people really like to talk about what they're doing as if it was the most important thing ever on
yeah.
Earth. So that would not stay quiet for very long.
I mean, as somebody who has a friend who is really close with Tinkerbell, and you know, we went to high school together. She's very vocal about what happens in the entertainment department on Facebook and other places also. So,
man, entertainment loves to talk about what they do.
Yeah, but it's weird how you could hear things across Seven Seas Lagoon at night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, so while I'm sleeping in my two-bedroom DVC bungalow at the Poly.
Oh, rub it in, Poly! Rub it in! While I'm slumming it in the All-Stars, you're staying at the Poly.
What are you talking about? You'll be at Cabana Bay and you'll be loving life.
Polly, I can see Polly now. Like they announce when he's gonna be sitting up at like 2 o'clock in the morning waiting for that thing to go live. Just clicking refresh, 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 refresh. It's like college class where you wanted to get the one professor, like refresh, refresh, refresh.
You wanted God. To get the one PM class instead of the 8 AM class.
Exactly.
Now see, I'm so old, that didn't exist. I had to show up. I just show up and register.
Tough, bro. Sorry.
Sorry, bro.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's over.
So what were we talking about?
Theme park properties that are perfect in the greater cultural. Yeah.
I really think Incredibles would be something.
Incredibles would be awesome. And it's the perfect, perfect, perfect thing to put into... Hollywood Studios.
Which means it'll go in Epcot.
No, which means they'll theme...
It won't be built.
Or they'll retheme Tomorrowland, because, I mean, this is a perfect opportunity for them to build a different Wedway.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that the plan? Wasn't it like Kooka's on the People Mover track or something?
Yeah, no, that was going to go where they tore down that theater.
Okay.
Oh, the Tomorrowland theater?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that became the parking lot for the people who can't walk too far.
For Phil.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of like another property that's not like a comic book type property that has a fully involved detail type thing that would work in a theme park environment.
Avatar? Not the blue people. but
Avatar: The Last Airbender would be cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I've always wanted Wall-E. I don't know why Wall-E hasn't been acknowledged by Disney.
Well, for the most part, it's depressing.
Yeah. Message.
And that's another one where it's, you know, the most realized area is a spaceship, you know, kind of like Star Wars, where, you know, you can try to make the Death Star, but you're going to have to make it all inside or something like that. You know, you can try to make the Axiom, but it's going to have to all be inside.
But see, this is what was good about the Disney afternoon. Like, if they would have wanted to, like, gummy bears or something like that would have been, like, a fully realized thing.
Oh, Duckburg.
Any of that. Duckburg, gummy bears.
Time out. Yeah, I got a good one. I got a good one. Roger Rabbit's Toontown.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah, but they will never do that.
Tailspin?
Tailspin would have been great. I mean,
Nick, you can get away with using only the Disney properties in a real good Roger Rabbit's Toontown.
I'm not talking. They won't use Roger Rabbit, though.
Well, no. I mean, now, obviously, it's past that time where that would happen.
No, I mean, if they would have built Maroon Studios back in this day at the studios like they had planned on where the farmer's market is, that would have been outstanding, awesome. But.
Now, you know, all the plans I'm hearing about the studios, which is very little, but all of them leave the dead end in place with Rocket and with Tower of Terror. Mm-hmm. Everything's happening on the other side of the theme park. But the worst part of that theme park is that big dead end cul-de-sac there.
They could easily fix that. I mean, they would just, I mean, easily, I say easily. relatively easily. You move around some backstage stuff and, you know,
connect it with the courtyard, animation courtyard.
Yeah, connect it with animation.
Well, I mean, and there's just a big parking lot that's, you know, quote unquote between the tower and Rock and Roller Coaster.
They do the market there for the Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where they used to do ESPN the weekend and stuff like that.
Yeah, all that stuff used to be over there.
Yeah.
It's a big space out there too, actually.
Can you believe they stopped doing ESPN weekend?
That still amazes me.
The only thing I can think of is that they were running into problems with the talent that they would get down there. But I mean, they're paid.
From what I understand, and something that I was told, is that they had a lot of sports memorabilia sellers showing up at the event and selling stuff in the park, which I feel like would be easy to stop.
I would think security would be able to stop that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's one thing that I was told. I don't know how legit it is.
I mean, they kind of discourage the pin traders, right? With the books and books and books.
Yeah. I don't know.
And Nick's walking in with his 10 baseball bats.
I'm looking at the Universe of Energy mic with Jar Jar Binks on. On Twitter.
Oh, terrible. You're ruining this great discussion with that nonsense.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Oh my god, that is the greatest thing ever. New Avatar. Oh my god.
We need to put that on the website somewhere.
We have a website?
we blog? I started writing a blog like a month ago, and I think I've written like a paragraph.
I'll blog in the summer when I'm bored and I have nothing to do.
Sean, your blog is hucking awesome.
Oh, hucking awesome? Yeah.
Does that still exist?
It's still there. I haven't written anything in it in like a year, but it's still there. Maybe I'll review Godzilla next week.
I'm going to watch that on Friday, and I'm totally looking forward to that.
I need to find a theater that
I'm going Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Yep.
Tuesday.
Oh. I'll see it before all of you.
That's not fair.
I'll go later.
I want my kaiju now.
I might have to put on it. I don't know if I'm sleeping tonight. I might have to just put on Pacific Rim.
Well, do you think Godzilla will end up in the theme parks?
No. Oh, I hope so, man. He's attacking San Francisco. This is the perfect replacement for Disaster. Just give it to me, Universal. Just give it to me.
Cool. Now,
that was Streets of Hollywood.
Interesting thing, because now the new Godzilla, you can't even have something like Godzilla versus King Kong, because this thing is just way too massive.
Oh, he's huge. Yeah, he's the biggest Godzilla ever.
Yeah.
But, oh my god, if they could get that into Disaster. This, like... The Universal is literally building a theme park designed for me right now. Simpsons, Harry Potter, Transformers, Despicable Me, whatever's going into Kid Zone has to be better than what's there now. I mean, oh my god. If they put Godzilla in there, I'll never leave. I'll move in.
I'll just set up...
Shrek is going to go sometime soon. I'm still standing by that. It has to leave soon.
You know...
I'll set up a tent in Battery Park and live there for the rest of my life.
This might be the first time that the Universal Hollywood refurb actually helps us out. They might have to replace Shrek, and then we'll get something to replace Shrek also.
Oh, really?
Well, that's just me thinking out loud. Like,
you know,
if they're redoing all of USH, then if they're going to redo Shrek, then that means good things for us, maybe.
I mean, think about if they redid the entrance in the Universal Plaza type of way and ripped out Shrek and just did, like, something that incorporated, like, the great moments in Universal movies and had, like, Back to the Future and E.T. and Jaws and all those things somehow in, like, a 3D type show where you walk through the history of Universal and all these things happen to you.
That'd be I still want my Universal Monsters idea to go where Shrek is.
That'd be great, too.
I mean, that's not going to happen, but...
But, I mean, you could incorporate that something like that.
Yeah. I know it's like, you know, it was ugly and no one liked it. I missed the Boneyard. I really missed the Boneyard.
Yeah. I wish I would have seen that. Pictures I've seen of it look cool.
I think they should replace Lucy with, like, a kind of museum.
Well, T2.
Nah, keep T2. I love T2.
We've had two movies since then.
Well, we're getting another movie coming soon with Khaleesi, so they could just redo it.
She's going to be in the new Terminator?
Yeah, dude.
She's playing Sarah Connor.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
I might have to see that now.
No, I like
T2. I think T2 is where Fast and the Furious should go.
Nah.
No.
T2 is better than Fast and the Furious.
Test track Fast and the Furious?
There's not enough room where T2 is
for
that.
You build it above the service road outside, out back.
That's going to be hard to do.
That's a good point.
I mean,
that'd be cool, but...
They built a train above the Silver Spur.
Yeah. I hate Get Rid of T2, though. I love that show.
What could they do and replace Rip Ride Rocket with?
Nothing.
Because that's an awkward space.
Well, here's the thing.
They could put a Fast and Furious there.
Or build a better roller coaster.
Or just get rid of it.
Build a better roller coaster, let that space be expansion space. Right now, you can't do anything with that stupid track all over the place.
You know, the real problem that I'm hearing is not the roller coaster, it's Blue Man Group.
Okay.
Can't get rid of Blue Man Group, though.
Yeah, Joe.
You could move Blue Man Group.
Upset.
You could move Blue Man Group to a new building.
Yeah, knock down NBA City and put it there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then you have plenty of expansion room for Universal Studios.
You know, funny you mentioned NBA City. We haven't heard about Phase 2 of City Walk yet.
I don't think we're going to hear about that and, you know, something solid until Phase 1's done.
Yeah. Because it was kind of right up to the minute where they were about to announce Phase 1 where we started hearing things. So I guess that makes sense.
Well, remember they were going to announce it. Don't you remember there was the site for when they announced CineSpec and all that leaked? And it was, like, all about City Walk. Like, there was a huge part about City Walk. And then that ended up not being in the... I wanted to know what happened there. I wonder if, like, they didn't get the or, like, the agreements with the locations yet. And so they had to push it off. Because that announcement was supposed to be, like, majority City Walk.
Yeah, and on a lesser note, fun fact, that e-passport they sent this month... In the summary you get in the emails in the inbox, it talks about a grand opening announcement. And then you click on the message, there's nothing about that at all.
I never get those things for some reason. I've never gotten a passport.
You know, the thing I find strange is that some people get them days before I do.
I get them sometimes, and I don't get them sometimes.
It's so strange. You would think everybody would get them at once.
Yeah, right. You figure there's like a mailing list that they just sent out all at once.
And even the ones in the mail you get, like somebody will get them 2 weeks before you get yours.
Yeah.
It's, what?
I've never got one in the mail either.
It's not just Universal. I guess Disney does it. And I mean, I'm a Great Adventure pass holder, and it's like maybe every other month I'll get an email.
I know a friend of mine never got a Mickey monitor or the car magnet.
I got two car magnets.
Maybe you got hers.
They really wanted me to renew, and apparently no one else got the renewal emails, and I got like five.
Oh, I get all kinds of crap whenever I let mine lapse. They were constantly sending me letters and stuff.
Did you see what I got?
What?
My pass expired on the May 1st. On May 3rd, I got a letter in the mail with a new card saying that they were incorrect with the date. My pass didn't expire on May 3rd, and here's my new card with my new expiration date of May 2nd.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
That's hilarious.
I wonder if CityWalk is behind a little bit.
I have a feeling it is.
I think Cowfish is, for sure.
I think everything that hasn't opened yet is. Maybe not Menchie's and Breadbox, because they should be opening in the next few weeks, seemingly. I mean, they're training already, so you would think they'd be opening fairly soon. But I think Hot Dog Hall of Fame / World's Greatest Hot Dogs... is behind. I think the Universal Studios store is behind, and I think Cowfish is 100% behind.
Yeah.
And Vivo. I forgot about Vivo.
On February 2nd, I went to an event at Margaritaville, and while there, I tweeted a picture of NBA City and put some negative comments on the picture. And NBA City tweeted back and said that they are planning not to go anywhere. But that was February 22nd, so. And of course, you know, would they announce it before anyone else does?
Oh, they probably don't even know.
Yeah.
They'll find out next month.
If you know, assuming that Phase 2 does happen, because apparently, you know, everything that's open Phase 1, so, like... Antojitos is apparently very, very successful so far. Whether the quality lives up to the crowds is another discussion. And, you know, Red Oven apparently has been very successful. And I'm sure Starbucks and Cold Stones aren't having problems. But assuming, you know, there is a phase two, I'm really hoping for a good, you know, hangout bar. Like, you know, Polynesian's getting... Trader Sam's, you know, Disney Springs is supposedly getting the Edison from LA, which looks really cool. I really want something like that for CityWalk, somewhere to just kind of hang out. Doesn't have to be a club, but it is a dedicated bar that you can, you know, chill with your friends. I'd like.
So you
that,
think Lone you know. Palm is that to some extent?
I've never been in Lone Palm, so I don't know.
On Wednesday, I'm going to an event at Margaritaville, going to check out the new Porch of Indecision.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they're doing that, and they have some new bogles in the menu, because this is National Bogle Month. So they put 3 new bogles in the menu this month.
Yeah, the Volcano Burger I saw, I think either Derek or Brandon got that.
Brandon got it.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah, I keep getting spammed by Bobby Flay.
Now, if these Disney Springs rumors are true and Morimoto is going there, that would leave, we have Emerald here, we have Morimoto here. The only two big names we don't have in Orlando then are Bobby Flay and Gordon Ramsay. Do you see them coming?
That'd be cool. I mean, you know, more big names. I'll never go to Morimoto in Disney Springs, but I think it's a big get. You know, anything attached with a name is big, and I think that that would be a good get for, you know, someone in Orlando. And, you know, another, he's fairly big up in the Northeast that's rumored for Disney Springs is Steven Starr. Apparently he's got a place coming to Disney Springs, so that's another big chef. Yeah, yeah, I think that was that he has.
I think Bobby's Burger Palace would fit in well in Disney Springs or City Walk.
Do you think why they haven't? Do you think that's why they haven't announced City Walk 2.0?
I don't think they'll announce it until the other one's open. Either way, because they want to you know, hype up the people that they've brought in already before hyping in the new ones.
I also don't know if Bobby Flay might be direct competition with Cowfish, and I don't know if they want to do that. You know, people will go, well, I'll just wait.
I like Bobby's Burger Palace. It's good. But I think Cowfish seems way more out there. Not out there, but way more interesting than Bobby's Burger Palace could ever be.
I agree.
Yeah.
And looking at Cowfish's Twitter feed, they haven't tweeted anything themselves since March.
Yeah.
The Orlando one.
Right.
Well, I mean, they could always go get Paula Deen, you know, my neighbor right down the street from me.
Butter Palace.
The butter queen.
I feel like post Halloween Horror Nights, we have a big media event in our future.
Yeah.
That's just my gut feeling. I think we're going to get a lot after either I'm hearing an echo of myself, which is nice. I like hearing myself talk. But, yeah, I think we're going to get something fairly big either after Hollywood Horror Nights or after Christmas season with Kong, Universal 25, and CityWalk 2.0 and maybe more.
There is something that I did want to add, though. This crazy idea. What if they made a Universal Movies restaurant where you go into, like, Frankenstein, when you go into action movies, and they theme the restaurant in sections where it's Universal action, adventure, drama movies, where every single part of the restaurant is themed as a Universal movie restaurant.
That'd be cool. I mean, that's a lot like what they have with Monsters Cafe. Each section is themed to a different monster. That'd be cool. Obviously, this you're talking sit down more than.
Yeah.
Yes.
Counter service.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That's. Go ahead.
They could put that in Universal Plaza.
Yep.
Yeah.
I haven't been to that Monsters Cafe. I've been to Jekyll and Hyde in Manhattan a couple of times, and it seems similar to that. They had a show that they would do, I believe, on the hour. And that was pretty cool, but I don't know how many times I would go to it.
I have Plaza envy, y'all.
You totally do.
USA.
Like, I think the most forgotten about restaurant at Universal has to be the Palm. That's a big win for Orlando, and people forget it's even there.
Yeah.
That's kind of a microcosm of the entire, like, a lot of people don't realize that Chop Chop is there and stuff like that. You know, it's not like the Disney resorts where everyone knows Ohana and Victoria and Albert's and, you know, California Grill and stuff like that. But I hope this vlog that they're doing showcases these things that are, you know, not as well known as, you know, every little thing that Disney has. That's the one thing that Universal, you know, people know their parks, people know for the most part what rides they have, but a lot of people don't know everything else that they offer, and I think that's something that the blog could really help bring to the forefront.
Yeah, I think the existing resort hotels are pretty much a mystery. They even are to me.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I don't know where anything is in these hotels. The only thing I know about is really the kitchen.
We're gonna have to do a resort day down in Parcio for the weekend.
One more time, man.
I'm honestly considering adding another day.
Park scope the long ass weekend.
That's right.
Yeah, y'all can add another day.
Send money.
Send money. send money to Universal Studios.
Well, actually, I do have a question.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Nick.
No, I was just being stupid. Go ahead.
Yeah. You talk about how all the Disney places are really well known, like Ohana and stuff like that. Do you think that's a factor of 26 resorts and hotels? And do you think that an increase of on-property places to stay is going to help that with Universal, where people aren't getting a DVC place and running over to Universal for a couple days?
Yeah, that'll definitely help. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, so many people at Universal now are there for a day or two and staying at Disney or off-site and not sticking around. So, yeah, you know, something like Cabana Bay and Hotel 5, whenever that comes around, can't hurt that perception.
Yeah, it's kind of the whole a fully captivated place, which is basically what Disney has been forever, is you go to Disney and you stay at Disney and then you leave to go back home. So you learned about these different places that you could go eat, these different things that the different hotels offered because of the necessity of using Disney transportation to get food and to just visit and do things. And Universal is now, I think, starting to hit that way, which will help get those names out.
The key thing is to get people to stay there longer and to explore the resort more instead of what they're doing now, maybe to a lesser extent, but the commando style of doing IOA and USF in one day, or just IOA and then leaving and blitzing over to Walt Disney World for their ADR. You need them there, held captive like Disney's been doing for decades now. You need to change the culture to where people are on site, they're eating there, they're sleeping there, they're waking up there, they're there, and they seek out these things.
Seems like the next logical step. Oh, good.
Did you see on Twitter the walkway to Cabana Bay, you need a key card? I don't know who tweeted that the other day, but to go across the walkway right now. You need a key card to access Cabana Bay that way. You can still take the vehicle over, but that blocks a lot of people from getting at Cabana Bay to go in and have a drink at the bar.
But you'll probably, because all the Lowe's, you know, things are connected. So even if you're at whatchamacallit, the other resorts, you'll be able to, like, because you're allowed pool hopping with all the Lowe's resorts and stuff like that. So, I mean, and I don't foresee people who aren't staying on property going to Cabana Bay because it's just kind of far out there and doesn't have a sit down or anything like that.
There is something I did want to point out when you guys were talking about keeping families on the resort. My family is staying we're staying at the resort, and we're not going to Disney. It's the first time for a whole week we're staying at Universal only, which is more of what my family wanted, but they want to really experience Universal over Disney. They don't really like Disney as much. And I've sort of learned that after talking to families and talking to other kids is that they're more interested in Optimus Prime and Harry Potter and Simpsons more than, you know, Little Mermaid or the Seven Dwarfs. It's almost kind of ridiculous to hear that, but you know, it's amazing to know that Universal really is grabbing the audience that really wants to go to these rides and stuff. It's kind of amazing to see.
And that's the big thing. Like, I mean, obviously there are still people that are going to want the princesses and stuff like that, but you know, a lot of people always, and I've talked about this and we've talked about this a lot, that people often want Disney to be Universal and people often want Universal to be Disney. And that's not what they're there for. They're very different. They're both, you know, on the same level, but they're very different feels and they're very different tones. You know, Universal is much more action oriented and, you know, I guess they're even more little boy oriented, where Disney recently has been much more aiming towards the little girl princess demographic, and Disney or Universal's kind of been for at least the younger guests, the teen guests, everyone, you know, everyone likes Potter. But, you know, younger wise, their skin, you know, every little kid loves Optimus Prime, likes the minions and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, Sean.
No, it's good. It's, you know, it gives people different options, and, you know, it's always good to have both.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you guys read the Jim Hill article about. I know you guys are all Jim. I know I'm the same thing with Jim Hill. I don't really listen to his stuff. Yeah, but like he was talking about there was going to be a fairy land where a Storybook Circus was going to be.
Yeah,
but Tom's
that would have been
really interesting. It would have been really interesting to see all those ride concepts come to life. There would have been more rides there instead of those tents, which, you know, would have been a good idea, but, you know, it really is gearing more towards girls. And, you know, when you don't have the Star Wars rides being built at the same time, and when you don't have development for, like, boy rides, it kind of, you know, throws shit in the fan. Sorry for my language, but, yeah. So, which is why, like, Universal really is more. And I want to point out something. My family's a very sport family, and when you talk to people who like sports, it's that demographic that really is the big demographic here in America now that really wants to go to Universal more than they want to go to Disney. But yeah, I kind of said that before, but
I mean, I know. Obviously, I don't have a big sample size, especially with the. People at my work, I've heard talking about. I get the, Disney's for the kiddies. We want to go to Universal, and you know that people are big on Potter and stuff like that. And even like my sister, who's younger than me, her friends' families are all asking me about Universal, and it's crazy to me. You know, it's again, it's not like Disney's going to fail anytime soon or ever for that matter, but. It's crazy to me that I have people know that I'm the theme park guy, and I'm amazed how much many people are going. I don't really care about Disney. I want to hear about Universal.
Yeah, I'm a 16-year-old boy, and as of right now, I would rather go to Universal. They market things more for me.
Yeah, and I've had that too. Like the kids I took down to Grad Bash. A lot of them are planning like their own trips with their friends this summer to go back because they want to go back and experience it again, and that's cool to me.
Yeah, it's really changing. I'm sorry, Nick. It's like it's the demographic that usually goes to Disney is more going to Universal, which Universal has the right audience at the right time, and they're able to do all these expansions, even with Kid Zone, you know, all the ideas that are coming out of what could possibly be, you know, is going to bring an even larger audience to the Universal brand.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that I'm going to bed. It's been a long time since 5 o'clock. So good luck. Mike's Energy Adventure is my favorite ride in all the world.
Good luck. Good night and good luck.
Good night. Good luck. Enjoy Mike's Energy Adventure next time you're in Orlando. Have a good night.
Heyo. This might be our best podcast yet, y'all.
I think so.
This is pretty damn good.
I will speak up now to be, you know, the older guy with the daughter. Before all of the princessification, there really weren't a lot of rides that were specifically for girls. I mean, you could argue gender neutral, you know, like Monsters, Inc. or, you know, Space Mountain or Jungle Cruise or all of Adventureland, most of Frontierland, Tom Sawyer's Island. All of those things are really mainly geared more towards boys. There's nothing really girly about any of that stuff, Shooting Range. So when you start to put in things that are a little bit more princess-centric, it seems to swing the needle a lot more the other way. And I can see that, and I can understand that.
No,
and
definitely.
There definitely haven't been a lot of things built new for boys, at least on the East Coast. But, you know, my only, I guess, not even a defense, but, you know, the only thing I'd say about that is there really wasn't a lot that was there for girls to begin with.
No, I don't disagree with that. I mean, even, you know, the other parks other than Animal Kingdom, you know, kind of swing a bit male for the most part. I mean, I guess Hollywood Studios had the two princess shows, the Beauty and the Beast and the Mermaid, but even then, you know, at Star Tours and I guess Tower of Terror is technically gender neutral, but yeah. You know,
I think the thinking there is that things that boys like, girls will at least tolerate and enjoy, and they'll do it. Whereas if it's something strictly for girls, boys are less inclined.
I agree.
Yeah, that was always the thinking.
And I do agree what's been, you know, it was said tonight and it's been said on this show before. You know, it's like Disney is for families with kids under 8. Universal is for like 8 and up until you get to be the age where you have a kid under the age of 8.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing that, you know, and I brought up on Twitter too, that there seems to be, you know, the one, if I can say that it's a hole in Universal's lineup, is the family attraction where everybody can go on, where you don't have somebody that's like motion sick or something like that, which is fine. It, you know, no. I mean, I go to Great Adventure all the time. You know, I don't need to have an Omni mover or, you know, a giant, you know, theater building that moves. But there is that kind of, it either has a height requirement or it's a show.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely the hole, and I'm hoping Kidzone at least addresses that. And Kong should, from what everything we've heard, should theoretically not have a height requirement.
Or at worst, least be in the Transformers / Spider-Man range.
Yeah,
right.
Probably less, though.
Yeah, I think it'll be less. I think if it does have a height requirement, it'll probably be on the lowest end of what Universal
has.
Yeah,
it's like the 37 inches or something.
Whatever
like that.
Disaster is, if Disaster has one.
I don't think Disaster has one.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, which is great. I mean, what's the was there a height requirement on the train? I can't remember now.
There's no height requirement.
Yeah,
there's no height requirement.
Because there's no restraint, right?
Hogwarts doesn't have, a height requirement.
I'm
actually surprised at how low Gringotts is.
Yeah, how about that that black box, y'all?
Well, apparently, we talked about this the other night. Apparently, that's been there for a while. Apparently, that's been there since Transformers opened.
Huh.
And no one noticed.
Yeah.
This is what we deal with in the Universal community. Nobody pays attention to anything important.
It's all in the details.
But even, I mean, yeah, if Gringotts is indeed 42 inches, which would be great, because it needs, you know, I feel like adding another 48-inch height requirement in Harry Potter isn't a great idea, but if it is 42, that's good. You know, it shows, it'll at least be more inclusive than Forbidden Journey is.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're starting to get 6-year-olds on there at 42.
And that's about as young as you'd want on that ride anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's about as young as you'd want doing, you know, any kind of Harry Potter movies to begin with.
Yeah.
Y'all, talk about what apparently T said on Orlando United tonight.
No, you go for it.
Apparently, I let me read the exact post, what he said. Because I read it, I don't think he ever responded to me. I read it as there is a animatronic dragon in the attraction, but I could be reading it completely wrong. Let me read the post again. It was, okay. Let me find it again. There it is. I will add something that I know I haven't shared yet. Backstage Technology of Winter Garden is doing a dragon, but has no involvement with the rooftop dragon. The A might not mean anything other than a vendor not knowing the rest of the show, and if other dragons are unknown in scenes, blah, 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 were awarded to others. I've never known who created Buckbeak and IOA, but, you know, they might be the ones who created the dragon outside. So that leads me to believe that there is an animatronic dragon in the ride, which we had never heard. I don't think we've heard about before, right?
Right.
I was under the impression that there weren't any animatronics in the ride. So this when he posted that, it kind of threw my entire perception of the ride completely out of whack. I'm at the point where I feel like we know nothing about the ride.
Yeah, where will the dragon come into play with what we know?
I think you could sail past it. Like, you would ride past it, and it would, like, move or whatever, and maybe blow fire or
solidify.
Like the Yeti.
Yeah, and then you go into the scene where something happens in one of the vaults, and then Harry releases the dragon to escape from Gringotts. And that's where the screens come into play. Where he attaches the dragon to the cart, and you get pulled out of Gringotts. Kooka scene.
Yeah, the fact that apparently there's a dragon animatronic, I really want to know if the trolls are animatronic.
I think so. I just don't know how you could simulate these things surrounding a cart on screens. I guess that's kind of what Kong 360 does. Where you have a screen.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but if there's more animatronics in this than I'm expecting, I'm going to lose my mind. I might just die. Apparently there's a Kong animatronic going to be in the new Kong ride.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to die so many times.
But will it
might have taken the R&D fees from the coaster that they were working on for Kong in one of the...
Dubai.
Yes.
That sounds so crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy enough to be Universal, though.
Yeah. Not bad crazy.
I'd be really excited to see that.
I'd just be really excited. Because I was super hyped for Gringotts. But, I mean, at the same time, I was like, it's going to be good. But I was hoping for more, you know, towards Forbidden Journey than Spider-Man that I was hearing. But if there's, you know, troll animatronics and dragon animatronics and stuff like that, I mean, it's going to be even better than I thought it was going to be.
I really hope they go for a dragon in Gringotts. I hope it's really not just the screen. Because seeing the dragon the first time in Forbidden Journey was...
Oh, that was crazy.
I'd still to see it on the rooftop.
And then the rooftop is going to be freaking awesome when you first walk in Diagon Alley. That's going to be something else.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, I'm even thinking, what if they did that thing where it's the dragon's on the screen when it's far away, but it gets up close and it's the animatronic?
I actually think it's going to be opposite of that.
Oh, you think?
From what I believe, yeah.
That's I agree with Ken. That's what I was kind of thinking. Where you would see it down below, maybe, or something, and then when you get closer to it, that's when you're going to have the Kooka arms come around you, and you're going to ride out on the dragon.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll see. Coming soon. Joe will know first.
Joe and Nick.
At Disneyland, Nick.
I still don't know what's going on with that roof dragon. That rig that they have set up is goofy looking, but we'll see.
It's just hard to tell the context, Sean.
I know.
We're not getting good views from it. You know, we're either getting one from Battery Park or we're getting one from the sky. And you're just not getting what you want to see.
Oh, I know.
The apartments? You can't see anything from those apartments there?
We had a friend that used to live there, and he really couldn't see anything. There's a big green fence.
Yeah.
He could hear the fireworks, but he couldn't appreciate anything. It was just...
I wonder about the top of the employee parking garage.
Now, that's a different story. I don't know. Let's see, the garage
What's up?
Go ahead.
What's up with the dome on top of Gringotts?
I think it's part of the dragon.
Is he going to be, like, in the dome? Or above it?
I think it's just all part of one package. I don't know. It's just hard to know. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Well, I mean, that's what I was wondering, too, if the dome was able to be, and I doubt it, but it was able to be opened and they can stow that dragon in a hurricane or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I mean, look at Buckbeak. I'm blanking. I'm really tired right now.
Flight of
the Hippogriff. I'm sorry, guys. but look how well he's built. I mean, I think they will build it. I think they will build it permanently, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It would be something that would be staying there for a very, very, very long time. And only when they would have to do refurb, I think that's when they would pull it out. But it looks from the rig itself, it looks really heavy. That's the first thing. And if they add, you know, counterweights and other things like that as well to the dragon itself, I think it will be it's definitely going to be permanent. It's not going to pull out during a hurricane.
If they are, you know, worried about hurricanes, maybe the wings will be detachable and they'll be able to take the wings off. Yeah. But the everything else will stay where it is.
I'm more worried about a thing that breathes fire being on top of a building in Central Florida with lightning.
It's just like hooking up a gas grill. Yeah, they just got the propane line. Go a little further.
Yeah, I just realized that. That's safe.
That'll be fine.
There's no smoking in the Universal theme parks.
It's funny. In the Universal team member newsletter, they said that you can't even smoke e-cigarettes in anywhere but the designated smoking areas now. And I was like, really?
Yeah, because the vapor looks like smoke, so you have to be over there.
Yeah. They had that event last night in Hogsmeade, or two nights ago, I guess now, for team members to talk about the making of Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley. And apparently not much really was divulged, but they did confirm the interactive wands.
Yay!
So. And again, I encourage everybody to go read Ken's article about that.
You know, the most amazing thing about the wands that I keep hearing, and I've written about this, Seth Kapolsky's written about this, Orlando Informo's written about this, there's yet to be an official name for the wand experience. I've not found a single person or found a single site that says what the official name of this thing will be.
You know, I think that'd be trademarked by now, probably.
Yeah. It's something that big.
Universal trademarks in a long time.
Hmm.
Anything outside of Minion Mayhem in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think something that big would have its own, almost like its own press release and trademark and all of the things that go along with it, because that's big.
Hell, they trademarked Universal Screenplay. Oh! That's something we forgot.
We're getting a new app.
Yeah. Universal told Attractions Magazine that we're getting a new app. And Universal hasn't had an app in a long time. Since we've been around, they haven't had an app, I don't think.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been like a year and a half to 2 years that they got rid of their app because it was so bad.
Yeah. So that's something to look forward to. And I speculate that'll launch the same time as Cabana and Diagon, which is probably going to be June 16th, which we'll probably find out next Friday.
And I'm glad it's for Android. Sorry to cut you guys off.
I mean, you pretty much have to at this point. You have to have Android and Apple. If you're a BlackBerry person, then, you know, get the times.
Why doesn't my BlackBerry Messenger work here, bro?
What is this, 2003?
What app is Universal using? I think actually they're still using it where around the construction walls where you like matched up the...
That's Screenplay.
Okay. So it's not a Universal app.
It is. It's Universal Screenplay. Okay. And they patented it last year about this time, and we were all excited thinking we're getting something...
A real app.
Something good. Instead, we got something that pretty much ensured we weren't getting cool Potter construction walls in the studios.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, because everybody wants to take pictures with a terrible, terrible CGI T-Rex.
And Jaws and Back to the Future.
Optimus Prime. That looks like he was made in a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, he looks like a PlayStation 1 game.
I miss the old camera. Do you remember the old camera stands? We'd put the camera in the stand and it would change the background and you'd pose, and like the Back to the Future building was like the launch building.
The space shuttle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they
the force perspective.
Don't they still have one in Hollywood?
Yeah, it's like taken out and put back a bunch of times every year.
Because
it's like by where they put like a bunch of stuff for Halloween Horror Nights and Grad Nights and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it probably wouldn't be there in September then.
No, it won't be there in September.
Oh,
that's where the what was it? The barn from Walking Dead was last year.
Yeah, because that's so much better.
Your favorite house.
The house actually was pretty good last year. The streets weren't, but the house was good.
I can't wait to go back this year, y'all.
If we get Alien, like, is rumored, I'm going to just be so happy.
I'm going to crap my pants.
That would be terrifying.
We need to mount a GoPro on Joe.
Oh, I cannot wait. I'm going to film Joe in every house. Joe has to be the first one in front of us. Because I'm going to film him in every house.
You need to do a Kickstarter to get you a Google Glass.
Oh, man.
The first year I went, like me and my friend randomly met up with these two girls in line. Like one ended up being from around where I'm from. And she, in the middle of one of the houses, which is my favorite house, second favorite house I've been to, the in-between. It was the 3D house that year. Like... three guys came out of the walls and like surrounded her, and she literally dropped into the floor in the fetal position, and they didn't know what to do. And I'm hoping Joe does the same thing. Just drop to the floor in the fetal position. Poor Joe. He's going to go home after the first night.
All right, guys. We've said it all.
Yeah, I'm about to fall asleep.
We've said it all. I'm on Central Time.
I've fallen asleep a couple times already.
Y'all are on Eastern Time. I know y'all have to be doing pretty bad. So, everybody, if you've made it this far, you're a hero.
Achievement unlocked. Listen to all the podcasts.
And if you haven't made Level it this up. Far, you're missing probably one of our top five, if not our best episode. Lots of good discussion.
I can't wait to listen to the first half.
The first half was very chaotic. And Baloo's still going.
That's because I just opened the door. He thinks he's going to get fed.
So, everybody, thanks for everybody who joined in and talked with us and shared their insight and their opinions.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Really, really good. And we'll have to do this again sometime in the future.
We have to get everyone on singularly instead of all trying to talk at once.
Yeah. So,
thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Very cool. All right, everybody. Kungaloosh. Love everybody. Hate everything.
Jesus Christ.
Good night, Baloo.
Well, that's obnoxious.
Oh, and thank you, Bob Iger, because I know you're listening, but thank you for heeding my tweets begging you to renew Nashville. I'm very happy. Good night.
See ya.
Something. The present has no ribbon. Your gift keeps on giving. What is this I'm feeling? If you wanna leave, I'm with it. All night to get some.